Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the culture of heaven. The culture of heaven. Yesterday, we talked about a new culture. God wants to help us to clean out our old ways, of doing things. What is culture? Culture is the way things are done. Every business, every ministry, every organization, every community, every nation has its own culture that is unique. And I believe heaven also has a culture. God has released us from darkness. He's transferred us into the light. We just finished the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is a reminder to clean out our old ways. It's cleaning out our old culture. Think about the removing all the yeast and leaven. Our bodies, our physical bodies, have a culture, antibiotics, probiotics, these types of things. We're removing out that old culture. And we're going to put this new culture into our bodies, the culture of heaven. You know, God planted some things I've been thinking about here. God planted this seed on the inside of us. It's his seed. We are his children. We're born again through that seed. That seed is meant to reproduce in our lives, meant to reproduce Jesus in our lives. Everything we need for life and godliness is in that seed. So one of the biggest keys that we need to work on in our lives is getting that seed to grow. And the key to growth, I believe, is culture. Culture is the key to growth. Jesus said, if you abide in me, your lives will produce much fruit. And I think one of the biggest keys to abiding is just getting this culture of heaven, that it permeates into the soil of our hearts and it begins to grow the seed. So we're going to be taking communion today, asking God for his help with this, to give us wisdom and insight into what this means for us, but also just asking for his help to get this culture of heaven functioning in our lives. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was running my personal training gym business. My life was just way out of balance, stressed all the time. My business is very up and down. Some months where I'm losing a lot of money and living for myself, really. And I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. So if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it'll change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. And the day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that to the end of the month, and you start back over again. And so I've been doing this for a little while, and I'm starting to see God's beginning to renew my mind a little bit here through this process. And then one morning I'm reading, and Proverbs 13:22 just seems to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we could pass on to future generations? After some time of just thinking about it and meditating on this, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be teaching or wisdom or lessons for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I want to create systems. I want to create teaching and training and a program that teaches them in every area of life, purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, community. How do we truly live? And really, I had no clue where to get started. I was just getting started in my own journey with God at that point. But from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow and grow and grow. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and teaching and training and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit, can change the whole trajectory of our lives. It creates this culture of growth. I want you to think about this. Every country has different foods that they're known for. I was just reading this morning in the book of Hebrews. It talks about comparing heaven to a country. Every country has foods that they're known for. And the number one meal in the kingdom of heaven, I believe, is communion. It's the number one meal in the kingdom of heaven, the country of heaven. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and make his sacrifice active and relevant right now in this present moment today. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like this activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. It's this opportunity that we can take these promises that God has made us and to receive them by faith. It gives us a marker in time to say, you know what, at that moment in time, I believed I received that promise. And we begin to walk in that promise and experience God fulfilling on that promise in our life. And we can combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice to pull that into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with just awe and honor and reverence and respect, appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he went through. Just the pressure he was under leading up to the cross, sweating drops of blood, crown of thorns on his head. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was spit on, betrayed by his own people, betrayed by his friend. Nails in his hands and his feet, pierced on his side, says he was crushed by God. It pleased God to crush him. Because on the other side, he was raised back to life. He was raised back to life. And that same spirit, that same power that raised him from the dead now lives on the inside of us. That's Romans 8:11. And it will bring life to all of our mortal bodies, it says. He forgives our sin, makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can have this culture of heaven that starts in our hearts and is meant to grow out from there. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can apply those principles into other areas of our life as well. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and so we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. Ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. We're going to exercise these four fundamentals today and bring some presence and some energy and some fun into them today. Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But our relationship's got to be brought down into today. If we're going to make today a masterpiece, we're going to get connected to the master. We're going to bring our relationship with him down into today. It's got to impact everything that we do, all the things we think about, the things that we do, the decisions that we make today. So our first step, let's get positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. And to be positioned in the light helps us to be in position to receive from God, to receive all that he has for us. Think about a quarterback and a receiver. The receiver runs one way and the quarterback throws the ball the other. The receiver is out of position to receive. So to be in position, we're going to start with humility. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God. Humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. Receive it from him. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to just maintain our position all day, is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we're in position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. So this day today, we have this amazing opportunity that we get access to all this today. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his purpose and kingdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, you name it. It's all in there and available today, but we have to learn how to receive it and get it flowing through us in our lives, out into the world, where we see the fruit of it. So our first step is to get in position. Second step is we're going to start to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. To magnify the light, it's also going to give us hearts that understand God's grace. Gets this new covenant established in our hearts. We become more fixed and consistent and immovable when issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that we're just rolling over and over on the inside? You've probably had this example before. You had some issue or problem. And the more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, the more you rolled that problem over on the inside, the more it seemed to grow. It seemed like a problem got bigger. Well, that same principle works with the things of God. We can magnify the light and it will begin to grow. How are we going to do it? We can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it, rolling it over on the inside. We can meditate on God's unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. And magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done in our lives. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them. We're going to choose not to toil away on those problems, to keep rolling them over on the inside. Rather, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. And we're going to magnify him as bigger than those issues and problems. And we're going to rest and we're going to trust that he's going to bring us the solutions. These perfect, beautiful solutions into our life. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, rolling those issues and problems over and over in our mind, venting, complaining, pouting, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we're going to learn to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness or we're magnifying the wrong things, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. It's like a black hole just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind. There's this torment in our minds as we just work those problems and issues from every angle. Dreading things in the future, some of the things that probably will never happen, but we're toiling it away in our minds again. There's confusion. You get stuck in these bad patterns and vicious cycles. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. He goes to work, and now everything is free and easy and effortless. Feel your faith and your courage and your energy begin to rise up as his peace and joy and love and mind and wisdom all just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation. And God just begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life that set us free. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever miss it, we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around again. Because every day life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. And in those cases, we're just 1 second away from getting right back on track again. It's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly. This is a skill set that we develop. To recognize those symptoms quickly and to turn it back around. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. Then we start praising him and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love, and that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today with beauty and poise and grace. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put in me is more than enough. Help me tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing at a greater level in my life. So that when these issues and problems come, I handle them in a beautiful way. You pray that simple prayer. You feel that shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. You feel the peace and the joy and the love and the energy just wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day, but we've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about implementing some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases, maybe a sentence, that serve as new standards, a commitment to walking out a new standard in our life. Helps us to filter all the little decisions that we make throughout the day. For example, a filter might be something like, God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And then as we go throughout the day, as we're tempted to stress, we're tempted to worry, we have that reminder. Wait a minute, God's working behind the scenes. I might not be able to see him, but he's working this for my good. When someone does something that pushes your buttons throughout the day and you're tempted to retaliate or give them the silent treatment or whatever it may be, you got that reminder. Wait a minute. God's doing continually good for me. I've missed it. I've pushed his buttons before. He still gives me grace. I'm going to do the same thing for other people. got that reminder in place to walk out this new standard in our life. It's like true north on a compass, keeps us moving forward in our life. And then I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. And then I like to magnify what went well today. What were the wins for the day? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we magnify those, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then as we go throughout the day, we got to stay tuned into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Slow down, take a deep breath, focus on his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up. We're going to get powered up in him again. And it just takes 1 to 2 minutes to do. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure everything out, trying to force things to happen, taking action on things that I really don't know what to do just yet. I'm getting out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. There's so much opportunity in the day of things that we seek need to be done. Good things to do, and we procrastinate on them oftentimes. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for today. And we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, and we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And recently we did the communion meditation on this. And we talked about how I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say first thing in the morning? I felt like God was taking me back and said, what's the first thing I said in the Bible? His first words were, let there be light. So lately what I've been doing, the first thing in the morning, right when I wake up, first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And I like to add on to that, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And it sets the tone for the whole day. And then we're going to start walking out that plan together with God with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence in him. Just that simple childlike faith with all the doubt and all the unbelief, all the junk moved out of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to go to work. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life that set us free. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's talk about the culture of heaven a little bit. I'm going to read a passage. This is coming from my book, The Eighth Date. The eighth date, we call it God's operating system for abundant life. So I'm going to start here. This is a section called The Culture of Heaven. It says, God wants to see the culture of heaven on earth. We talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread recently. It was just a reminder. God has taken, cleaning out the old, given us this new culture. What is culture? All bodies have a culture. A human body has a culture. Think about probiotics and antibiotics. Churches, businesses, communities, organizations, and countries all have cultures. Culture is the unseen force that causes a body to grow and thrive or to decay. Culture is something that's hard to put your finger on and measure because it's an unseen force that's either bringing life or death. A good culture will increase productivity and efficiency while eliminating waste. A bad culture will waste resources, time, and most importantly, the potential that's in people. We live in a world that has a culture of stress and striving and struggling for every inch of progress. When we abide in Christ, and in my opinion, one of the greatest ways to abide in Christ is daily communion. When we abide in Christ, we switch cultures as we rest in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to bring the culture of the country of heaven. Jesus references heaven as a country often. We're going to bring the culture of heaven, the country of heaven, down into our world. In this culture, our job is to abide, and God's job is to cause the growth to happen. The culture of heaven is one of light and love, freedom, security, and rest. In the kingdom of God, we're not stressing and striving for everything. God protects us and moves us to the desires of our hearts because he cherishes us. So God planted the seed in our hearts. As we abide, the seed begins to sprout, bringing light to our spirits. Abiding in Christ means that we're living in the kingdom of light, and living in the light is a culture of connection. We have fellowship with God and people. In the kingdom of heaven, God's presence and glory shines light on everything. It enlightens our path and protects us from darkness. Living in the light is living in a culture of truth and honesty and transparency, because everything is in the light. So I believe the path that it takes, it starts with getting our hearts illuminated, light in our spirit. It begins to work into our mind and emotions. That peace and joy of the kingdom of heaven begin to work into our mind and emotions. Then it begins to show up as the fruit of our lips. It begins to change our behavior. It begins to work into the other areas of our life, into our purpose, in our health, and our finances, in our family, our relationships. It begins to work into every area of our life. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that's planted, it's put in dough, and it begins to work through the whole dough. It's going to start very small, but it's going to work through the whole dough. It's going to start in our spirit. It's going to work into our mind and imagination. It's going to work into the fruit of our lips. It's going to begin to work into every area of our life. This culture is going to begin to permeate every area of our life. And I believe that culture is the key to growth. Culture is the key to growth. The right culture is the key to growth. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to have you in our lives. We just thank you for your grace and your goodness, and we're asking for your help. For this culture of heaven, to help us to stay planted in that culture of heaven, to abide in that, because it's what causes the growth. You cause the growth. We're asking for your help with that today. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's just take a minute to remember that the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. Let's just take a minute. You can close your eyes if you need to. Just visualize and stir into our imagination all that he went through on that cross. Crushed by God, smitten, struck down by God. Whipped and beaten, pierced, nails in his hands and feet. Now I want you to visualize, though, he went through all that, but then he was raised back to life. He was raised back to life, and that same power, the same spirit and power that raised him from the dead, it lives in you now. It lives in you. That's an amazing thought. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We've got God on our side now. We've got God on our side now. We can have this culture of heaven in our lives, righteousness and peace and joy and love and faith, connection with God, light and truth and transparency, security, trust, all because of what he did. So Father, we thank you for this bread. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So as I'm thinking about this, what's the fruit of this? Starts small within us. The seed begins to grow, begins to work out into every area of our life. God wants to make us great. You look at Abraham and David in the Bible, he promised to make them great. God is great. Jesus is great. He put this seed, it's got greatness in it. He wants to overflow into our life, but it doesn't just stop with us. Culture is expressed into the world through communities. This isn't just for us. It's supposed to overflow out of us into other people. Culture is expressed into the world through communities. Bodies of people working together in unity. This culture of heaven's meant to overflow out of us into other people as well, to make other people great as well. Father, we're asking for your help with that today. We thank you on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup. So this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into light. The Bible tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We have this new covenant in the blood of Jesus. We have this personal relationship with God. Just be connected to him. I believe that's the key to seeing this culture in our lives, abiding in him. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have juice, you can take a juice. All right. Let's talk about the culture of our workouts. And the daily workouts that we have, if you don't have the daily communion workouts, if you go to our website, theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com, you get on our email list. The daily communion emails that go out also have a workout that's attached with it. I feel like something God's really been talking to me about lately is, what's the culture of your workout? Is your workout one full of stress and grinding away every rep? And it's kind of ugly reps as you force your way and grind your way through every rep. Or is every rep beautiful and graceful and connected with God, with your movement and your breathing and everything in sync together? What's the culture of your workout? Is your workout being done as a way to connect with God and abide in him? Or is it all about just vanity and trying to improve? Because really, he's the source of beauty. He's the source of good. He's the source of health. And just getting connected with him, experiencing that grace flowing through us, is the key to all the results that we're looking for, I believe. What's the culture of your workout? I believe one of the greatest accelerators of progress is switching cultures to get more efficient, to eliminate waste, increase productivity. All come from the culture of what we're doing. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.